Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Renesas Global Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jenny Rose from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Renesas Global's Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Sumit Shah, Chairman and Global CEO, and Mr. Hitesh Shah, Managing Director of the company. We would like to begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Sumit to make his opening remarks. Over to you, Sumit.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Renesas Global, I extend a warm welcome and thank you all for joining us on our earnings conference call for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31st, 2022. I will initiate the call by taking you through a brief overview of the company's operational and business highlights for the period under review. Post that, Hitesh will give you a rundown of our financial performance, following which we will have the forum for question-and-answer session. We have reported a resilient performance during the period under review, despite the ongoing challenging operating environment. Our total income in Q3 stood at 725 crores, and PAT came in at 28 crore. For the period, 9-month FY23, total income came in at 1,742 crores, up by 4% as compared to 1,672 crores in 9 months FY22, and PAT for 9 months stood at 68 crores against 85 crores for the corresponding period last year. Despite strong global headwinds, we were able to minimize the downward pressure on our revenues for 9 months, largely driven by growth in our branded jewelry division, which is up 20% year-over-year. Our high-margin direct-to-consumer segment remains a priority for us, and we are pleased to witness growth even in the current demand scenario. The annual run rate for the segment has now improved to 225 crores in the 9 months, further improving the 2-year revenue CAGR to 86%. We are thrilled to report that the recently acquired 4Mine Inc. business has achieved break-even towards the end of the quarter and is now poised to start contributing to our profitability going forward. We expect margins from the direct-to-consumer business to return to the historic range achieved prior to the acquisition in the coming quarter. We remain committed to executing our integration plan efficiently and effectively, and we will continue to keep you updated on our progress. Additionally, we are pleased to witness continued demand for our branded product from our retail partners. Looking forward, our strategic endeavor is to achieve over 50% sales from the branded segment in the next 3 to 4 years. Branded jewelry has contributed 26% of total revenue for 9-month FY23 as compared to 23% in 9 months FY22. Our overall EBITDA margins have been impacted by inflationary pressures, which are expected to persist in the short term. Nevertheless, we are determined to grow our direct-to-consumer business at an aggressive pace and envision an improvement in margins in the medium to long term. Overall, the current external challenges seem to be transitory in nature and certainly not structural. Although retail demand in the US and Europe may stay sluggish for the next quarter, these two regions continue to be the largest consumer markets in the world. To conclude, while the near-term environment remains challenging, we continue to focus on our strategy of growing our branded business. As we approach towards the end of the fiscal year and keeping the macroeconomic realities in mind, our revenue for FY23 is expected to decrease between 2 to 10 years, 10%, to between 1,970 to 2,150 crores for the year, and profit after tax is anticipated to decline to between 85 to 100 crores. We believe that our direct-to-consumer approach will allow us to tap into a growing market of next-generation jewelry customers and create value for all stakeholders in an efficient manner. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Hitesh Shah to discuss our financial performance during the quarter. Over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Sumit. Good afternoon, everyone. A challenging economic scenario in Western markets created downward pressure in our revenues. However, it was partially offset by solid contribution from a direct-to-consumer business. In Q3 of FY23, our total income stood at Rs. 725 crores compared to Rs. 775 crores in Q3 of FY22, down by 6%. While for 9 months of FY23, total income grew by 4% to Rs. 1,742 crores as compared to Rs. 1,672 crores in the same period last year. Our branded sales in Q3 stood at Rs. 234 crores, up by 19% year over year, with contribution of branded jewelry revenue to total revenue being as high as 32%. In 9 months of FY23, revenue share of studded jewelry stood at 89%. Of the total studded jewelry revenues, branded jewelry contributed 30%. During Q3 of FY23, direct-to-consumer business posted revenues of Rs. 88 crores as compared to Rs. 49 crores in Q3 of FY22, registering a growth of 80%. For the 9-month period of FY23, our direct-to-consumer business revenue was up by 83% to Rs. 173 crores as compared to Rs. 94 crores in the same period last year. Revenues from our plain gold segment grew by 21% year over year to 65 crores in Q3, and for the 9-month period, it grew by 76% year over year to Rs. 190 crores. On the profitability front, EBITDA stood at Rs. 50 crores in Q3 of FY23, and for the 9-month period, it stood at Rs. 130 crores, translating into margins of 6.9% and 7.5% respectively. For the 9-month period, branded jewelry business reported an EBITDA of 12.6% margin, and the D2C business registered a 12.4% EBITDA margin. D2C business EBITDA margins were compressed due to integration costs from a newly acquired Fourmine Inc. business. The business has now achieved break-even while we build scale and is poised to positively contribute to our profitability moving forward. We anticipate a return to our historic D2C margins in the next few quarters. In Q3 of FY23, profit after tax after discontinued operations came in at Rs. 28 crores versus 33 crores in the corresponding period last year. While for the 9-month ended 31st December, PAT stood at Rs. 68 crores against Rs. 85 crores in the same period last year. Now, in terms of our balance sheet, our net debt to equity ratio stands at a healthy 0.30 as of December 31st, 2022, versus 0.41 as of September. Our total net debt stands at Rs. 291 crores, and our cash and bank balances and current investments stand at a healthy Rs. 226 crores. We have generated a cash flow of 149 crores for the trailing 12 months ending 31st December 2022. On the back of aggressive working capital reduction. To conclude, we have reported a stable performance despite a difficult macroeconomic environment. As one of the leading industry players, we have a strong financial position and we remain confident of our ability to navigate through this challenging period and deliver strong performance in the future. On that note, I would now request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, about a year back, I think we had started our activities in China. Can you share any update on that, how things are shaping up now?
Sure. So I think, we did a test with, one of the larger chains in China for Enchanted Disney Fine Jewelry. I think, after the test period, I think China went through, a significant lockdown phase due to which the performance of the brand was not satisfactory. So we've sort of wound up the test in China, and we don't expect China to contribute to revenues going forward.
Okay. Second, sir, this customer brand business that we have, can you explain the reason for, from a 7% EBITDA margin to 4%? It's like parallel to the gold business that you do. How do you kind of read that?
Yeah, so I think, the customer brand business has been impacted by sort of negative operating leverage, right? I mean, I think that as sales have gone down, some of the cost structures here, have led to, deleverage on the operating front. I think that, as the market stabilizes and the macro situation improves, we expect to go back to sort of historical, 7 to 8% margins on the customer brand front going forward.
Okay. So it's more about the demand side and not on the cost.
Yeah, I think we're,
Okay.
Yeah, because we're down, 18% for the quarter, the margins have gone down.
Right. And so as and when our D2C or the branded business is increasing, our working capital cycle is, kind of extending. Is that correct understanding?
I think the working capital cycle has sort of gone down. So I think if we look at, compared to 1 year ago, our working capital number of days has gone from 198 days to 188 days because the direct-to-consumer business requires less inventory, it's more working capital efficient and has less receivable days as well. So we would expect our working capital days to actually improve meaningfully as direct-to-consumer becomes a larger part of the business. Especially the four mining business is, extremely working capital efficient because it's a made-to-order business where, we manufacture the jewelry after the order is received. So, while we've seen an improvement year over year, I think the fair comparison really is December to December because of seasonality. The number of working capital days has improved by 10 days in the last 12-month period.
Okay, actually I was looking at the slide where, FY19 is showing around 154 days. And of course, then it jumped to 198 days, which you are referring to in December 21 and now back to...
Yeah, so I think the historical numbers are not comparable because, we changed our accounting policy last year, whereby we are actually reporting revenues of the gold division on sort of a net basis. Because of the non-comparability of that, FY 20 and 21 would not be a fair comparison, which is mentioned in the notes below.
Right. But I didn't expect such
on a like-for-like basis, it's gone from, 213 days to 188 days, effectively, if you were to compare on the older accounting methodology.
Okay. And you mentioned about this inflationary trend. So what, I mean, typically do you expect going forward, you know, that how that inflationary pressure? So primarily you are talking about the diamond, the cost. I mean, what kind of costs are facing an inflationary pressure, and how do you see that going forward? I mean, you already gave a guidance about the quarter, next quarter, as in FY23. I'm looking slightly more medium term in that sense.
Sure. So I think that, you know, the commodity prices went up meaningfully in the beginning of calendar year 2022. It took us a couple of quarters to pass on those increases to customers. So from a gross margin perspective, I would say that we are largely stabilized and passed on cost increases to customers. I think that just in general, inflationary pressures has definitely caused a demand slowdown because jewelry is a discretionary purchase. So because of which we've seen sort of a demand side issue in terms of, you know, our gross margins and, you know, our ability to pass on prices to customers. We've already kind of done that, and gross margins are now sort of at a stable level where we expect them to be.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. Wish you all
Thank
the
you.
Very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pavan Kumar Pinara from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you comment about overall EBITDA margins? Actually, we are expecting some increase in direct-to-consumer business margins, but the segment itself has been under pressure. So, what's your view going forward?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the direct-to-consumer segment has margins have gone down primarily due to the acquisition of 4Mine Inc. You know, we acquired the business in February of 2022, and, you know, the business lost money up until the month of October. So the margins are kind of depressed because of the acquisition. You know, we've incurred sort of significant integration costs and initial losses. You know, our expectation would be that in a few quarters, you would see a significant improvement in the margins of the D2C business as the acquisition has now sort of broken even and is profitable on a go-forward basis.
Okay. And can you also please make us understand contribution of 4Mine to Q3 or revenues and PAT?
So we, you know, we haven't provided that, those numbers yet in, you know, Q3 and for the current year. You know, I think at the end of the year, we'll break down 4Mine Inc. within the D2C segment, and we'll provide more visibility going forward so that, you know, investors are able to sort of look at the margin profile separately. So I think going forward, we'll provide visibility into the numbers.
How is that business model different from our other franchise models, sir?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
How is this business model different from our other franchise models?
Yeah, so 4Mine Inc., you know, we sort of own the brand. It's a lab-grown diamond brand where we are focused on selling engagement rings. The remainder of our direct-to-consumer business is all licensed brands. So one primary difference is own brand versus licensed brands. Second primary differentiator is it's primarily a lab-grown business as compared to a natural diamond business, which is the remainder of our direct-to-consumer businesses. And it's a made-to-order business where we carry zero working capital. In fact, it's net working capital positive because the customer pays money first, after which we acquire the goods and deliver the product to the customer in about 11 days after receipt of the order. So from a working capital perspective, it's highly efficient. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, primarily lab-grown, focused on selling our own brand.
Okay. Thank you. That was so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Akash Zaveri from Perpetual Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is that you mentioned the retail demand in U.S. will remain sluggish for the next quarter. Could you just throw some light on how you expect it in FY 2024 and the rest of the calendar year?
Sure. So, you know, I think that what we saw in the past year was that, you know, the entry-level product, you know, was impacted a lot more than the mid-price product and the higher-level product, because a certain type of consumer was, I think, more impacted by inflation. So that's point number one. What we are seeing now with, you know, as inflation sort of year-over-year inflation eases, we are seeing more of a normalization trend in the retail, sales data. So, you know, qualitatively, you know, when we looked at January sales data of our retail partners, we are seeing sort of the negative numbers go away and more of a normalization of demand. So I think as to when we'll start seeing year-over-year growth, I think is a matter of time. But, you know, we are seeing the negative trend sort of abating a little bit now, and, you know, we hope to sort of start to see positive numbers in the next quarter or two. So that would be sort of the visibility that we would have initially. I think that, you know, it would be sort of early to tell how FY 2024 would do, but I think we are quite optimistic to be able to return to growth in FY 2024.
Okay. And how, what gives us confidence that, you know, our D2C brands will do so well and, you know, for mining the acquisition that we've done, you know, on a low base, we've been growing well. But what gives us the confidence that in the next one year, if the rest of the market remains, you know, there's not that much visibility, then what gives us confidence that we'll, you know, be able to grow that part of the business?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, the Four Mining business is really focused around lab-grown diamonds, and lab-grown diamonds have significantly gained market share in the U.S. So, you know, we are really the only vertically integrated player competing in this space. So, you know, there's probably about four or five brands, you know, in the direct-to-consumer lab-grown diamond space that are meaningful in size. I mean, you know, obviously, we have competitors who are a lot larger than us. We think structurally it's a market that is growing very rapidly and potentially can be quite large because, you know, the lab-grown diamond sort of engagement rings are still a very, very small percentage of the overall market. So it's a growing market. We're an integrated player with significant cost advantages and delivery timeline advantages, and we have the design capability since we do significant investments, since we have a large B2B business. So I think a lot of the building blocks are there. I think we have to focus on, you know, execution and building the brand the right way. And, you know, we are fairly confident that we should be able to continue to grow this business with a long ramp for growth going forward.
Sure. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. For this, you know, this announcement in budget about lab-grown diamonds, how do you see that impacting Renaissance Global?
So I think there is no sort of no immediate impact. I think there's clearly a focus as the government recognizes that, you know, this is something that, you know, which is going to be a huge growth area for the company. And I think we're very focused currently on kind of building the front end for this and building consumer demand. I think at some point in the future, you know, we need to see if we want to sort of backward integrate into the growing process, but currently we have no plans. You know, we really plan to build out the front end and build the demand side of this, because really our key differentiators, the ability to design, manufacture, and deliver, you know, great brand experience to the consumer. So we plan to stay focused on, you know, this part of the business.
Okay. So this is something for more from somebody who's grow, I mean, into manufacturing.
Growing the diamonds.
Grow diamonds.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's it.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dharma Venkatesan from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I'm pretty, I'm new to this company, so I just want to understand that how we are promoting our D2C brand, what are the kind of advertising we are doing, in case we are doing. So I just wanted more clarity on what we are exactly doing in the D2C brands.
Sure. So, you know, we currently are investing, you know, significant sum of money in terms of, you know, our overall revenue in growing the brands. You know, primarily it's digital marketing. So just to give you a perspective on, you know, 225 crore revenue for the current year, we would be spending, you know, between 60 and 70 crores on advertising in the current financial year. This is basically split up between top of the funnel and bottom of the funnel marketing between primarily between Google and Facebook advertising platforms. You know, it's a mix between performance marketing and brand building, but it's primarily digital marketing spent on these two platforms to get customers.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And if I was looking through your presentations, so the consumer brand segment had actually degrown by around 20%. So is there like demand destruction is happening because of this inflation thing which is prevalent in the Western countries? And how do you see this going forward into the next financial year?
Yeah. So I think that we saw, you know, significant commodity price inflation in the early half of 2022, due to which the consumer, definitely their wallets were stretched, and, you know, we saw negative year-over-year numbers in terms of retail demand. As I mentioned to the earlier caller that, you know, we are seeing positive trends starting January as inflation is abated. So we are hopeful that in the next couple of quarters, you know, these numbers should stabilize and improve.
Okay, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one to ask a question now. The next question is from the line of Sanket Goradia from Aris Investments. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I had two questions. One was on the acquisition side. Is there looking at any potential acquisition now? And the second part of that comes from, you know, the cash that we're holding. Are we looking at using that maybe for the acquisition or a buyback or increasing any kind of dividend payout? Thank you.
So, you know, yeah, thank you for the question. You know, we are not looking at any further acquisitions in the near term. I think that, you know, between growing 4Mind Inc. and our branded business, I mean, I think that we've definitely got a long runway for growth. I mean, we also have, you know, a small retail business in India, Eraswa, which is showing some, you know, nice green shoots with store level profitability being achieved. So I think that, you know, we've got multiple drivers of growth in the existing businesses that we have between the licensing business, 4Mind Inc., as well as the India retail business, which will become meaningful over a period of time. But we're seeing, you know, good unit economics coming out of that business. So I think focusing on, you know, gaining efficiencies out of the existing businesses and growing them will be the focus. I think that, you know, at the current moment in time, you know, the board hasn't decided on any buyback or increased dividends, but we've, you know, meaningfully reduced the gross debt down year over year. So we've gone from, you know, 549 crores of gross borrowings to 469 crores. And, you know, in the current interest rate environment, it sort of makes sense to pay down the debt and, you know, de-risk the company from that perspective. So capital allocation decisions will be made by the board going forward, but, you know, we have been using some of the money to pay down the debt as you see from our balance sheet from December.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. I hope we've been able to answer all your questions. Should you need any further clarifications or know more about the company, please feel free to contact our investor relations team. We hope to have your valuable support on a continued basis as we move ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Renaissance Global Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.